faithful Savior, I have traveled far, searching for you, following your star. And now that I've found you in this place, beholding the beauty of your face. You are the one I adore, the one we've waited for. You are the one foretold, prophesied. Changing the whole world, the way you're changing my life. Beautiful Savior, only in my dreams could this be true, that God became man and lived and died to make us new. And now that I've found you in this place, beholding the beauty of your face. Oh, you are the one I adore. Side of old. You are Emmanuel. You are God with us. And you're changing the whole world, the way you're changing me now. Your plan has begun, a humble place to start. I have traveled far, searching for you, following your star. Thank you.
Adore. I would like to do tonight is to just walk through the scriptures, because there's nothing new that we can, and we talked about this Sunday, nothing new that we can add to this to make it more flashy or make it more exciting or anything like that, because it's pretty exciting the way it is, wouldn't you say? I mean, we're talking about virgin birds and we're talking, that's some crazy stuff, okay? But there's nothing that we can add to this to make it better. It's perfect the way it is. And though we've heard it hundreds, literally hundreds of times probably, it's important for us to remember. Who was that, Linus, that was speaking? Somebody give that guy a microphone. And so, then the angel answered. Now, I'm reading from Luke 1, verses 26 through 38, which Linus helped me with this evening. Thank you. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? All right, now this is an angel speaking to a young teenager. Then the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is already in her sixth month. So what God has begun is already happening. Get ready, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant." Don't you love her response? Her response is just that we can learn a lot from that. "I am the Lord's servant," she said. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Now, if we were to go back a few, maybe a verse or a chapter or two, we learn about John the Baptist. You guys remember him, right? John the Baptist's parents, all right, when his father Zechariah was in the temple doing his service, remember, an angel showed up to him as well, okay, and said that you're going to have a son, and all these things. And his response was quite a bit different. And he says, well, how can I be sure? That was his response. How can I be sure? Mary said, may it be as you have said. And so because Zechariah responded in a manner of doubt, how can I be sure? I'm already old. Promise me. Show me how this is going to happen. Well, it turned out God was not too happy with his response, though he was his guy and his wife Elizabeth, right? God caused him to not be able to speak for quite a while. A couple of months anyway. Long time, actually. All right? Till the baby was born, I believe. So it was months before he was able to speak again. Now, Matthew 1, verses 18 through 24. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Okay, now can we just level and be honest with each other about a few things? Okay, so we're talking about a virgin, a young lady that has never been with a man, that is pregnant. Okay, now she's promised to be married to Joseph, an upstanding man, and they're promised to be married. Okay, and so he finds out that she's pregnant. Okay, now you can imagine his concern, right? You expect me to believe, Mary, that you're pregnant with God's Son by the power of the Holy Spirit? This has never happened before. How am I supposed to believe that? Okay? And even today, the Bible says that it's impossible to please God without what? Faith. All right? So here is something where our faith got to take over, wouldn't you say? All right? So our faith, God is asking us to believe in this very thing, that Mary was conceived of the Holy Spirit, right? Okay? So that's one thing that God is asking us to believe. And that's where our faith comes in, right? And so, let's continue reading. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. There's a guy for you. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, now listen, can you imagine him laying on his bed, considering all of these things? I can't believe we had such a bright future ahead of us. She's so beautiful. She's so, well, she was so pure. And he's laying there. All of these thoughts are running around in his head. And he just can't believe the immediate turn that his life, their lives have taken. And he's planning to just put her away quietly, being the man of God that he was. Didn't want to put her to public disgrace. All right? That was a dangerous thing. If you were found to be pregnant and you weren't married, I mean, you could be killed, literally. Okay? That's dangerous stuff. And Joseph would have been the laughingstock of the town. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, now listen, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, which means the Lord saves, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, quoting, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. That in itself is crazy. Okay? Didn't touch her till after the baby was born. Okay? Let's just move right along. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So they had to leave their little town and go back to the town that he was born in. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he was belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So now I imagine if you can picture these things in your mind. Now, Joseph, they're traveling. She's, you know, we've all seen the movies and in the pictures that are, you know, she's on a camel and she's big and she's ready to get this over with, you know. And it's probably cold and at night, and they go to different inns to see if they can find a room or something. There's no room. All right? And so they ended up where? In a stable. In a barn. Okay? So out behind one of the inns was a barn where the animals were kept. And so that's where they ended up. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, in a box where animals eat. Right? So they're in a barn, they're in a place where the animals live, okay? Now, this is quite a difference from the way that kings are normally born, wouldn't you say? Yeah? Kings, royalty, and riches, all these great things, and beauty, and here's the Son of God. The Son of God himself in a barn laying in a box that the animals eat from. Now, I keep animals. Some of you here keep animals. Wherever there's animals, there's stink. Okay? That's one thing I found. So I don't imagine it smelled all that great in this stable, this place where the Son of God was born. Amen. She wrapped them in cloths and placed them in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And this is where Linus kind of took over. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now they stayed out there. They stayed out in the fields. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were terrified, the Bible says. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. Notice when anything from heaven comes around, people get scared. Not every day you see that kind of stuff, right? The first response, we wax. Chill. Chill. God sent us. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Sometimes we get the wrong picture about God, and we talk about this a lot. Sometimes we get the feeling, or other people that we know feel like God is just waiting for us. He's just poised and waiting for us to make a mistake. Gah! So he can pounce on us, squash us like a bug. But it says, on earth, peace to men on whom God's favor rests. Now, we live in a world where there's, in many cases, not much peace. This is talking about peace between God and men. Us. Emmanuel, God with us. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. Now, remember it said in the fields nearby, so they weren't too far away. Okay? So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they did what? They spread the word. Now, these are lowly shepherds, and we talk about this as well. Shepherds nowadays have a positive connotation to them. You know, the 23rd Psalm and how caring and loving they are for those they shepherd. Not so back then. Not so. Shepherds were kind of, in a sense, outcasts. They were socially, okay? They were dirty. They stayed with the animals. They stayed out in the fields. I don't imagine they got a shower much, okay? They were also known to be, at times, thieves. They were also known to be liars. And so the picture that we have now of shepherds is not the way that it was back then. And then this kind of begs the question, why would such an important message be given to such lowly people? And you notice what they did here. They spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Just as they had been told. So we get a picture not of royalty, not of riches and all these things, but just the very opposite, the lowest of the low. Stables and mangers and shepherds and stink. What is God thinking when he's sending his son in these conditions? What's the thing? What is it? Let's continue reading. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, you may remember that name, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, King Herod himself considered himself king of the Jews. Okay? And we hear king of the Jews, we think of Jesus on the cross, right? With a sign above him. But Herod considered himself king of or over the Jews. Interesting. So when the chief or the magi come to him and say, "Where is the one born king of the Jews?" You see the difference? See, he took on the name king of the Jews, but there's one that was born king of the Jews. He is the real one. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, to say the least, and all of Jerusalem with him. All right? So you got all these other Jews that are thinking, king of the Jews is born here where we are. Now, we know that that's supposed to happen. I want to see it. I don't know about this. Where's this king? Okay? When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "Well, everybody knows. In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may go and worship him too." Yes. Now Herod, as we spoke Sunday, killed his own wife and his son. He's a killer of his own family in an attempt to protect his throne. Very, very protective, okay? Kill anybody that's trying to take his throne. Okay? And he says, I want you to go search for the baby, who's probably about 2 years old now, okay? Go search for the baby. When you find him, come and tell me so that I can go and worship this one that is born King of the Jews. Okay? After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own countries by a different route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape. Escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod," "Herod is going to search for the child to worship him." No. No. Not to worship. Not so much. He's going to kill this baby that's going to try to take his throne. He's thinking in his head, "You want to see who's king of the Jews? I'll show you who's king of the Jews." And it ain't no baby. He's going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up and he took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Hosea 11:1. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Why the lowly, why the humble, why the humility, the poor surroundings? What's the big deal? Why not a herald? We hear, "Hark the herald angels sing." Well, a herald is somebody that just shouts out, "Something big going on, better listen, better watch. Everybody look over here." That's the herald's job. Hark, listen to the herald angels sing, "Glory to the newborn king." Okay? Why not a herald? Why not a big palace? Why not riches and beauty? Why not someone with dignity and nobility? Why wouldn't God send the message of the Savior's birth with someone of noble character? Why shepherds? Why would God entrust such lowly things with such an important message? Had God sent the message of the Savior's birth with royalty and dignity and pride, it would be, in a sense, exclusive to all others. If I didn't have nobility, if I didn't have riches, I could not enter in. But because it was set in the lowest of settings, there is hope for you and me, sinners. There is hope for us. There is hope for you and me. If the likes of these people were entrusted with the most important of messages, if not the most important message of all time. Okay? Are you with me? Then I also can be entrusted with the same message. Do you understand? Do you understand? Your responsibility, our responsibility, to carry the message of the Savior into the darkness. And to shine the light. My property right now can be seen from outer space. It is so lit up, honestly. Honestly. The lights are like you can see them from afar, really. We are to be that sort of light in the dark world that we live in. There's people that are lost, man. They don't know. They know something about Jesus. They know something about religion. But many of them don't know Jesus. They don't understand the purpose of him coming at all. Yeah, he came as a baby, and he's cute and everything, and there's all the, we got all the manger stuff, and we got all our decorations, and we give our gifts, and we get so, cool Christmas tree. We got all the lights and all that great stuff and credit cards to pay off for the rest of the year. But what's the thing? That baby, the thing is this, that baby came. He didn't stay a baby forever. Babies grow. And that baby, that Jesus, grew up. He lived a sinless life and willingly gave himself on a cross, so that you and me, could be set free from our sin. You and me, when he died on the cross, he broke our bondage to sin. We no longer are bound by sin because of what Jesus, that baby that grew up, that lived a sinless life, that gave his life on a cross, you and me, we're free. We're scot-free because of what Jesus did in the blood of Jesus. We're washed clean. And so we can once again stand in the presence of God in right standing with him, which is always where he wants us. He's got a father's heart towards you and me. To all, the Bible says, to all who received him and believed on his name. He gave the right to become children of God. You see, if we receive him, there's something that we have to do. It just doesn't end there. We have to receive what was done on the cross. And then, and only then, will we be able to be children of God. True children of God. Do you understand that? You see, we don't, when we die, we don't go to heaven just by default. Some of you hear me say this all the time. We don't go to heaven by default. There's something, yes, that we got to do. We have to receive. We have to say, yes, I receive what was done on the cross as payment for my sin. My disobedience to God. That's what sin is, disobedience to God. And disobedience to God, sin separates us from him. God doesn't want that. Ever. He never wants that. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11. This is good stuff. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Not to what? Not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to give. That's God's heart for you. He wants to embrace you. He wants to embrace you. But our sin separates us from God. And so somebody's got to do something to make up for what we did. And the way that they used to do that was the blood of bulls and goats and sheep. Lambs. The Bible calls Jesus the Lamb of God for that very reason. Because he gave himself willingly as the perfect, sinless, spotless lamb as a sacrifice. Once for all, the Bible says, for you and for me. And so there is something that is required of us. There is something. A response. God is always looking for a response from you and me. We have to say, yes, I receive what you did on the cross as payment for my sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God. And John 3:16, many of you know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. But that scripture doesn't end there. Listen. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, no, but to save the world through him. That is the reason for Christmas. That's the reason God sent his Son. Not to condemn us, not to point fingers at us, no, to save us through him, through him. Him. I guess that's why we need Jesus. A church ain't going to save us. This is a beautiful church. There's a lot of beautiful churches. More beautiful than this one. Ain't going to save you. Ain't nobody in that church going to save you. I can't save you. Jesus. He's the one. He's the one. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I pray that as you celebrate Christmas this year, that there's something different in your heart, that you really take ownership of our responsibility, that it's not just about presents, it's not about gathering with family, though those things are really nice, and I love it, I really do. And the Christmas tree and all the decorations, I'm like way into it. But it's more than that. It's more than that. It's about Jesus, and it's about us. Would you stand with me tonight? I'm going to close with a prayer. Bill's got a song here that he's going to do. I'm just going to say a prayer here. And if you, maybe you've never said this prayer. Maybe you've never prayed at all. That's okay. That's okay. It's a great time to start. It's a great time to start. And as I'm praying, you can repeat after me. Maybe you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never had that time. Well, in response to that, the Bible says that now today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Now. Maybe you've already received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and for some reason, which happens to many people, including myself, we drift off. Sometimes we just drift away from God. And we let other things, We let other things sometimes take God's place in our lives. And we sacrifice our first love. And he gets kicked down a few notches in the priority list. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to give you the opportunity to pray with me tonight. Would you just close your eyes, bow your head, all eyes closed, all heads bowed? And I just want to ask you, is there anyone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior that has never done it before ever? Raise your hand tonight. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your strength. We're just going to pray right now. If that's you. And you can pray along with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth.
Thank you for coming.
I am a sinner. And I know that I need you.
I know that I need you.
I know that I need a Savior.
I know that I need a Savior.
Please come into my life.
Please come into my life.
Forgive my sin.
Forgive my sin.
I trust you to wash me clean with your blood that you shed on the cross. From this day forward, I live my life for you. And that's as simple as it is, friends. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. If you believe, the Bible says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If that was you, and you called on the name of the Lord, you've said those words with me, you are saved. You are saved. Saved from what? You're saved from your sin. I just want to pray another quick prayer here for those of us who have maybe strayed from the Lord, maybe walked some distance away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for saving me. Forgive my sin, oh God. I know that I have walked away from you. I pray that you would restore me again to right standing with you. I want you first and foremost in my life from this day forward.